Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Tamika Lundy. All of our guests on University Drive are special, but today we are talking with someone who is special in terms of his connection, his very close connection, formally, to this show. I almost feel like we should trade places, and instead he should be the host and I should be on the other end. Joining us today is the campus president of University of the Bahamas North, Dr. Ian Strawn. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Strawn started the show a whole 8 seasons ago, but then transitioned off the scene and threw the baton to me. Welcome, Dr. Strawn, and thank you for coming back home. I hope you missed us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here, an honor and privilege.
Yes,
you've been
yes.
doing a fantastic job, by the way. Yes. So
we're trying. I hope we meet with your approval in terms of how we've kept the show on for 8 seasons. And it's always a pleasure to have a conversation with an alum of the institution, by the way. But I'm glad we get to focus the entire show on UB North so that we can keep our listeners abreast of the many changes, the milestones, the accomplishments, even in the face of grave challenges. Of course, 2 years ago, Hurricane Dorian uprooted the UB North community. But despite that, faculty, staff, and students have really demonstrated true grit and resilience. How is everyone today, having endured such a major crisis and really now dealing with a second calamity, this COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, well, you know, Grand Bahama is a unique place. People in Grand Bahama talk about their experiences of multiple hurricanes, you know, going back to Francis and Jean. And so it's been battered many times, and those have caused shocks and had serious economic impact and contributed to decline so of industry, et cetera. So particularly tourism industry. So they're tough people. And so COVID really didn't create that much of a difference in, especially at least for the university anyway, in terms of how we were operating, because we were already without a campus, having to work from home, having to work on shifts, et cetera. I think the most difficult part of it was the curfews. But people are in good spirits now. We're coming out of this. Most of my staff have been vaccinated. The economy is turning around slowly, and people are looking forward to the future. So I think there is a sense that there's some exciting opportunities right around the corner. So it was difficult. It was a hard 2 years, but I think people are looking forward to what comes next.
How big is the UB North community, faculty, staff, and students?
So we have we hover around 50 full-time staff. We have another 50 or so part-time adjunct faculty. We had right before Dorian just over 500. Students that dipped as a consequence of the damage to our campus, but interestingly, during this COVID period, because everything has been virtual, we were able to open up all our classes to university students wherever they were, anywhere in the country. And so, actually, what that means is that in fall of 2020, we had over 900 students who were at least taking one course with us at UB North. And in the spring of this year, 2021, that rose to just over 1,200 students. So at least 1,200 students were taking at least one class that we were offering. So that's a different way of kind of looking at, and it's a way of looking at how we basically really were able to respond and saw some some positive developments as a consequence of having to go to that platform.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes silver linings come out of crises, right? And the kind
absolutely
of, the kind of pivoting that you have to do. There's that word again, that favorite word. And yeah, so that's what's happened for UB North.
No, that, I couldn't put, I mean, you know, on so many levels, you know, we were working toward conceiving a master plan for the East Campus, talking with donors about new construction, new buildings. We were very close to signing an agreement to have a solar field created in partnership with the power company. We just seen a 100% increase in our residents at the new Hawksville Hall, and then Dorian happened, right? So that threw us for a gigantic loop. It was very, very difficult, but we had to, you know, figure out how to keep our semester, keep students on time to graduate. We pulled that off after being closed for a month. And then really what we said, look, is what is this opportunity here that we're facing in the middle of this adversity? And the opportunity was to really ask ourselves where would be the most beneficial strategic location for the university. And the conclusion was that we should really move core services to downtown Freeport, which we believe will increase accessibility, increase enrollment, make it easier for working students to attend, because we saw a significant drop off among that particular constituency, and also provide an economic boost to businesses in the downtown Freeport area and just create more energy in the city. And so that has been our emphasis and our thrust, not to abandon the facility that was damaged. Yes, we did have to demolish the dormitory because it just suffered too much damage, but the main building weathered it fairly well, and we are now proposing that it becomes a marine and environmental science field research station dedicated to exploring issues of climate change, looking at the environment and marine science, and building there a center of excellence for the university. So our hope is that through this adversity, we will grow, come back bigger, stronger, more vibrant, be able to offer more to the Northern Bahamas in terms of programs, and really increase our footprint. One of the things we also did, which was a blessing as a consequence of the storm, was we were able to go into a partnership with the YMCA, which is a nonprofit organization that provides, you know, healthy lifestyle opportunities for the community of Grand Bahama. They have tennis courts, an Olympic pool, they have fields, fitness centers, auditorium, gymnasium. And we entered into partnership with them so that we could have access to their athletic facilities. It would have taken us a very, very, very long time to try to create that out on the Eastern campus. But because we're going to be moving into downtown, we've been able to partner with this NGO to be able to provide those opportunities for our staff and students, and really improve overall, once we get back to face-to-face, the student experience.
And so a lot has happened then, brought on by the unexpected, but still on that growth trajectory, still on that road to progress, right? I'm curious, as a campus leader, a campus president, how do you maintain a balance where you keep your eye on the targets, those strategic priorities, while at the same time paying attention to the mental and emotional health of your UB community, your UB North community?
Yeah, absolutely. Dorian was extremely difficult. One of the good things is that because we were small, there are advantages to being small. You know, changing direction, responding quickly to things on the ground is easier for a small organization. And also because we were small, we were close knit before it happened. We grew even closer, I think, facing the life-threatening storm. You know, people lost relatives. Some of my team members were in threat of losing their own lives during the storm. And so we took time to bring in psychologists to have time for addressing the traumas that people faced, both for students and for staff. And that's something that we want to see continue, because, you know, these things, you don't get over them just because you have one or two or three conversations, you need to continue to monitor people. And so that's been a thrust and a focus for us. And then that moved right into, you know, making sure people understood how serious COVID was, understanding the difference between the myths and the mistruths and the scientific facts, and promoting vaccination as a way to protect themselves and the people that they love. But definitely as a leader, it was important to care for people and understand that you can't push them too far, too hard. If someone's house has been flooded, and there's seaweed and mud in their living room, you have to be realistic about what you're asking them to do day to day. And so one of the things that we did was we said, look, let's focus on helping each other. And so the maintenance team was made available to anyone who needed to just clear debris out of their home, clean up their space. That was the number one priority was, you know, it's not work as usual. It's not a normal business day. We have to take care of each other first. And so understanding how much to ask of people when they have to go on lines to get water. And I don't think Nasuvians understand. There's still not fresh water coming out of some of the taps in Grand Bahama. For over a year, you know, you had to go to one of the water stations that the Port Authority, Samaritan's Purse, and Rotary made available to just get potable water. So we've been through a lot. So you had to be realistic, considerate, compassionate, sensitive to what people were really dealing with, and show them that you cared about their real lived experience. And once you took care of all of that, then you can say, look, we've got to keep moving forward. We've got to bring our semester back. We've got to be able to rebuild.
And then along came COVID-19, right? Almost out of nowhere. And then what happens? Yeah. Then what do you do?
Yeah, so like I said, you know, we were, unlike NASA, we were already dealing with an abnormal circumstance, right? All we were left with was four or five office spaces. And so shifting to what COVID required wasn't as hard as it might have been for other people when you think about it, right? But nonetheless, you know, we had our incidents of employees getting infected, of close calls, or people being afraid they might have been infected or exposed. But generally speaking, I think we handled it well. People understood that they had to sacrifice and they had to go above and beyond to keep the University of the Bahamas North viable, because we were facing major shocks. And we wanted to be able to protect people's employment. We also wanted to be able to make sure that people who wanted further education, that opportunity wasn't denied them. And so we operated with a sense of mission to keep our doors open and to be able to be as creative as we could be so that UB North could continue to exist, because that we didn't take that for granted, given everything that was happening. And so the team is proud, the team is hardworking, the team believes in UB North. We're a family, and we've been pulling it off. Thanks be to God.
In a major way, more than pulling it off, in a major way. So at each campus, there's a focus or theme of sorts around which efforts are galvanized. So what is the Center of Excellence focus for UB North?
So really, I say this a lot, and people may be tired of hearing me say it, but it's important to drum it, because given the nature of Grand Bahama, it has one of the largest shipping ports in the world, where they repair and so on, cruise ships, etc. You have $1 billion oil transshipment stations. We have two of those. You have chemical factories. You have an industrial island that also has rural communities, fishing communities, also has a mega resort, so it's a it's a laboratory for sustainable development. It's important that each campus of the university look at the local economy, look at what's happening, and see how do we best serve and connect and create synergy with what we see happening on the ground. So it is our view that the University of Bahamas North should really be the STEM campus of the university. Doesn't mean there won't be sciences offered at Oaks Field, but we want to focus on growing areas that where we haven't seized the opportunity to grow thus far in our institution's evolution. And so we want to see a focus and introduce an environmental science degree, offer a marine science at the University of Bahamas North, but also grow full-fledged engineering programs, introduce a computer science degree, look at operations management or logistics, the kinds of degrees that make sense given what's on the ground and the kind of real world experience students can have, but also that we can provide a pipeline for those industries that are on the ground. We also want to emphasize entrepreneurship. Unemployment has been high, very high in Grand Bahama for over a decade. And so the emphasis on entrepreneurship is also a very, very important one. With that in mind, we're really involved in a number of initiatives. Right now, we're working on an IDB grant for $500,000. It's looking good to be able to train in entrepreneurship and innovation. And our goal is to open in September a Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation, headed by an executive director, so we can really be more intentional about creating an ecosystem that supports those who want to go into business, providing them with the resources and advice they need. We're also going to open, we're hopeful, a business incubator. Once we have our downtown campus, spaces will be devoted to fledgling businesses, giving them an opportunity to grow where they don't have to take on all the pressures of the marketplace, giving them the type of advice and opportunities and access to funding. We're partnering with the Small Business Development Center, who will be a part of helping us roll out that incubator. And will also be a part of being a facilitator in our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. So we're excited about these twin emphases. So there's the Environmental and Marine Science Field Research Station, which we see as a center of excellence. We also want a center of excellence in entrepreneurship and innovation. In fact, I'd like to see a degree created, a sustainable innovation degree, which would marry science, engineering, along with entrepreneurship. So we have students who can look at development problems, come up with sustainable innovations, commercialize those innovations, and start businesses. So that's our goal. And so we're working on these twin paths. And we've had some success already. We've secured a $100,000 grant to introduce solar power to the field station. We've also applied along with the SIS in New Providence, thanks to the leadership of Dr. Carlton Watson. We're in partnership to create a seedling nursery. So our goal is to try to regrow the forests that have been devastated by saltwater incursion as a consequence of Dorian. So I am really excited about this one, because this is where I think the future of the university as a whole is, and the uncharted territory is the university coming alongside government and trying to solve real-time problems and challenges that we face. And so this seedling nursery is a perfect example of that. We got a $100,000 grant from the Bahamas Protected Areas Fund. We're setting up that seedling nursery right now to restore mangroves, restore pine forest in Grand Bahama. And this will be going on for years to come. We're very, very excited about it, because here's a tangible way that the university, with its talent, its expertise, its students, its faculty, can partner with the public sector, with NGOs, and essentially rebuild, restore, and return Grand Bahama to some semblance of what it had before. So we're excited about those various opportunities.
Wow, you've said a lot, and I have so many questions. You said so much. I have so much to ask. So what you're talking about when you're talking about the focus on entrepreneurship and innovation, the business incubator, the solar power spill station, the seedling nursery, all of that really relates to directly to how the university is fulfilling its mission through the UB North campus. You're talking about supporting and driving national development, and that's happening in tangible ways. And so it's happening in tangible ways. And so in as much as Hurricane Dorian and the COVID-19 pandemic have really been adversities to that you have to overcome and endure and move beyond, it really kind of almost forces you to look at the potential as a blank slate, things that are untapped that you hadn't considered before these things happened, right?
Yeah, the thing is, the university has done an excellent job in training and giving access to opportunity for, and it's really helped build the Bahamian middle class. There's no doubt about it. You and I are both alumni of this institution. And it's trained accountants, people, nurses, teachers, people who've gone on to become physicians, engineers, over the course of the last 20, 30 years, where there is, in my view, space and potential for us to further fulfill our mission is in service and is in supporting and driving national development. And I think that is about the practical things that we can do. That is about the research we can do. That is about the advice we can give. And that is about the application of our knowledge to national problems. And this is what UB North is doing. This is what the university as a whole really ought to do. So as I said, in Grand Bahama, we need to, people need to be put to work. The biggest challenge in Grand Bahama is people need work. And so how can the university play a part in giving people the skills they need, retooling, helping them innovate, helping them respond? We're in an information age. Are we preparing our workforce to be competitive, to take advantage of this age that we're in, and to occupy the top levels of the economy, to not just be those who hold jobs, but those who can create jobs? A perfect example of what Dorian has done and how we've really had to think about how we serve is our partnership with Heart 9/11. This is an organization created out of the tragedy of the attack on the Twin Towers in New York City. And they have been going to disaster areas, and trying to make a difference, training people, giving them employable skills. They did this in Puerto Rico. They came and they approached us at UB North. They said, look, we want to train people, help them become carpenters, electricians. We will pay them. They will repair homes, but at the end of the day, they will have skills that they can use to make a living. And we were like, look, how can we, partner with you? It makes perfect sense. There's no money in it for the university, but the point is, look at where we are as a community. And we are a community partner. We have to serve. We're also going to be partnering now the same in terms of farming in Bahama. And so these are opportunities. How can we make a difference, a real difference, a felt difference in our country and be relevant to the challenges that we face?
I must admit that Heart 9/11 undertaking was one of my most favorite aspects of the recent undertakings that have been happening at UB North, because here it is, you're talking about helping to facilitate people being able to earn skills that can help them to survive, to exist. And at the same time, mm-hmm. assisting those people in the community in terms of their homes that have been damaged, helping them to bring restoration to where they live. And so it's almost like killing two birds with one stone, helping the community,
absolutely.
Helping people to be able to earn a living, and the University of the Bahamas in the center of that, along with a partner. And speaking of partnerships, over the years, it's been said a lot, it's a refrain, the university should not exist and operate in an ivory tower. So what that says to me is that it needs partnerships, it needs stakeholders, it needs to work and forge alliances that can help it to meet its mission. I know that recently you held the business symposium in Grand Bahama in partnership with the Small Business Development Center Access Accelerator. What are the outputs from that? How were you able to about impact through that?
So the objective there is to really, again, draw attention to alternatives for people who need to find livelihood, right? Thought, okay, let's create a business expo where we bring in business people who are doing it every day, but let's also make sure we bring in young business people, even students of ours who are in business. And so our students can see themselves reflected in those who are speaking about entrepreneurship. And so, and that was the spirit in which we went after creation of the symposium and expo, connecting our students with people who are out there doing it, not to romanticize entrepreneurship, but to give them a real sense of what level of commitment is required, but also a roadmap to how you get there. And so it was a wonderful experience, a good start. We had an alumnus of ours who has a donut business. We had a student of our, Benjamin Davis, who has an electrical car rental company, give a talk. We had another student of ours who's an accounting major, but has an auto detailing business, George Charity, give a talk. And I think this is something we wanna continue to promote. We know people can be risk averse. People want that safe and steady job. But the cost of living is growing. Taxation is increasing. We're seeing more and more challenges in terms of employment. We want people to consider entrepreneurship, even if as a parallel to what they're trying to do in the 9-to-5 space as employees to supplement income. And so we were encouraged by it. It was good conversation, good engagement. We hope to put the opening panel discussion on television soon. That's the kind of thing we want to do. We want to connect to the real world. We want to connect with the chamber. We want to connect with agencies that are out here trying to make things happen and really be a thought leader in our society and create the connections that people need in order to take the next step. And so we're very pleased with how that turned out. And we're looking forward to our Sustainable Grand Bahama Conference next year.
Yes, and there's also a nexus here for your continuing education division to be inserted, right?
Exactly, absolutely. So this is the thing. So, you know, we are able to offer all sorts of services to people who want to gain skills in a short period of time. You don't have to come to university and get a four-year degree or an associate degree. We have short courses that we can offer, certificates. We have a certificate in entrepreneurship, but we also have short courses that people can take if they want to build their skill sets, just learn a particular thing, whether you're talking about, oh, I want to know how to use QuickBooks, I want to know how to use Excel, or et cetera. We've partnered before, for instance, with the Ministry of Youth to train people, and we did training folks as to learn to do massage therapy, bartending, all these sorts of opportunities we've done. Obviously, we still also do things like prepare those who want to get licensure as electricians and so on. So the continuing education field is one that I really think we need to expand and grow on the non-traditional learner. And I think being downtown is going to make that easier for us as well. A lot of people were daunted by the journey to go out to the East Highway. And so we want to grow our continuing education division. We definitely see the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation as having a strong link with continuing education so that we can support individuals where they are, because not everybody needs to get a full degree. And the university needs to cater to its multiple stakeholders, those who just want a 6-week experience so that they can have a top up on some skills and be able to get employment. Those are also our students and people we need to focus on.
This is a good place for us to take our first break. You're listening to University Drive. We're talking with campus president at University of the Bahamas North, Dr. Ian Strawn. We'll be back after this.
Chapter 1, is your Back to School headquarters. We are proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center throughout the semester for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter 1 Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael Eldon Complex. Shop with us on Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. Call us at 397-2650 or email us at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter 1 Bookstore. See you soon!
Welcome back to University Drive. We are focusing this episode on what's going on with our University of the Bahamas North Campus in Grand Bahama. We have as our guest, Campus President, Dr. Ian Strawn. Dr. Strawn, so remind me, what are the full-fledged academic programs that one can get through UB North?
Currently, we have graduated students with bachelor's in chemistry with biology. It might actually be called biology with chemistry, so I'm sorry. Accounting, management, human resources, primary education, social work. We just recently introduced a bachelor's in liberal studies. We offer the associate degree in computer information systems. We are working, and students, of course, can start any program that they wish. And then depending on what it is, they would have to transfer to New Providence. And that's, of course, something that we're working to try to reduce. And so we want to see, in short order, the addition of nursing. We want to see, as I mentioned, marine science. We want to see the creation of computer science and environmental science. We have to do some aggressive hiring of new faculty to make that happen. But we also don't want to, when we go back to quote unquote normal, we don't want to see the baby thrown over the bathwater. We've learned some important lessons. The university has had to, everyone has had to become more savvy with technology. We've been able to migrate most of our classes into the online space. We don't want to see that go away. So we want to continue to have that element available to students so that they don't have to necessarily pick up and move and change islands in order to be able to study in certain degrees. This is why we created the Bachelor's in Liberal Studies. That is actually an interdisciplinary degree. So if you're a Grand Bahamian student, what would usually happen if you wanted to do a history or English or psychology or marketing, any of those degrees that we don't offer, is after about your second year, you'd have to move to New Providence. One of the things that the BA in Liberal Studies allows, because it combines six different degrees, you're going to become, you're going to be skilled in critical thinking. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to be able to be a good manager because this degree combines English, history, public administration, some psychology, management, and some social work. So it is a multidisciplinary degree focused on helping you understand the Bahamian context, be a critical thinker, be analytical, be able to communicate in writing and in speech at a high level. And so we think that as an alternative for our students, this would be would make them extremely marketable, both in the public and the private sector. So as we try to think about what we offer, we want to say, what are the spaces that we can occupy that would give our students an advantage? Yeah.
Do you think that the profile of the average UB North student is going to change over time? Because I remember when the campus was officially open, I know that the focus was on really targeting students who are residents of the Northern Bahamas. But with the impact of Hurricane Dorian and now the pandemic, and then reaching out to those potential students in an online space, I'm wondering if the profile of the average student is going to change for the campus.
And that's exactly our intent. That is our strategic goal. One, we certainly want to ensure that the people of Bimini, Berry Islands, Abaco, and Grand Bahama have easy access to higher education, and that's the purpose of UB North. That's our first priority. But we have to understand that as we have developed unevenly as a country over our history, there's also been uneven access to opportunity, right? So in some ways, the student from Grand Bahama who pays the same tuition, or the student from Abaco who comes to Grand Bahama, pays the same tuition as a student in New Providence, but has not enjoyed the same access to degree options, same access to facilities. So we need equity. The beauty about that equity is that it actually will also help the development of our country. As UB North grows, and it so will Freeport grow, so will Grand Bahama grow. And so we then move people out of the center and we start to populate properly our other islands, because of course, New Providence is under a lot of pressure because of density. So the answer to the question is certainly what I see as the ideal in a university system is this: wherever you are as a Bahamian, you choose your campus based on what it is you want to study. There will be some commonality. So for instance, sure, you get an accounting degree, whether you are in Nassau or whether you're in Grand Bahama, you could get a primary ed degree on either campus. But there should be specialization. So there should be a limit to how much duplication there is, because we don't want to duplicate Oaksfield. We don't want to recreate Oaksfield. We want a distinct campus. And so students choose. And so what I see happening is, just as Grand Bahamians have had to go to New Providence to study certain things, it is quite fair and reasonable and a good thing for students of New Providence to have to come to Grand Bahama to study depending on the discipline. So if we have a focus on engineering and computer science and marine environmental science, wherever you are in the Bahamas, if you want to get that degree, you can come to Grand Bahama and get that degree. There'll be other emphases in New Providence. And so now our people are crisscrossing the country. There's greater economic activity. You have people provide an alternative to the Nassau lifestyle. Students can be, we never want to have 4,000 or 5,000 students. We don't need to. If we land around 1,000, that's good. So people can have smaller classes. They can have a more intimate setting. So now you create options for the student. A student might say, you know what, I want to spend a year in Grand Bahama, even though I'm going to do most of my time in New Providence. So now you get to see and know your country more widely than to just be Nassau-centric. I see nothing but benefit to it. But yes, you're right. The profile of the student will change. With the virtual element, which we don't want to cast aside, now it also creates opportunities for wherever you might be. You might be in Ragged Island, you might be in Miguana. You hopefully will have the opportunity to be able to study, at least reduce the amount of time you have to be away from your home. That should at least be our goal. And so the vision is for a university system where each campus has its areas, its flagship programs, its centers of excellence, its areas of emphasis, and they do not so much compete as complement one another. And we support the reality that we are, in fact, an archipelago, and we do not wish to be overly centralized. Rather, we want to see greater equity and more even development rather than uneven development. And the university can be a vehicle of that. The university can be a vehicle for shifting populations, for repopulating Grand Bahama, which has infrastructure to accommodate hundreds of thousands. So yes, that's definitely the vision. I know I gave you a long answer to your question.
Tell us more about the Student Support Award.
Right. So again, this was us responding to the reality that we ought not to take it for granted that UB North would continue to exist just because it has in the past. And so as staff and faculty, we looked at our situation. We knew that there was devastation throughout Grand Bahama. I think over 900 homes were damaged. We knew that there was going to be great economic hardship. We knew that, yes, there's a tertiary grant in place, but there are students who don't qualify for it. They might be part-time students. They might be students in academic enhancement. They might be students who, though they are residents of the Bahamas and have been here most of their lives, they're not citizens, and so they're not qualifying. And so we didn't want to lose a single student if we could help it. And so we said there must be a way for us to help support these students who are just as valuable to us as those who qualify for the tertiary grant. And so I challenged my staff and faculty, let's see what we can do, dip into our own pockets, show how serious we are about this, and see if we can help some of these kids stay in school. And so we created the UB North Student Support Award, did our own drive. We got 70% of staff and faculty to donate. And so far we've been able to support 20 students through grants support, basically largely on donations of faculty and staff. And so that's really been one of the things I have to say I'm most proud of, is that we were prepared to, whether it was $10 or $20, whatever it was, dip into our own pockets to help our students. And of course, in helping our students, we're also helping ourselves, because we don't have a job if we don't have students coming through the door. And so it was important to address that particular blind spot and show that we cared about everybody. And we wanted everyone who wanted an opportunity to study to be able to study.
Tell us also about the Fulbright Fellowship.
So essentially, the U.S. Embassy approached us wanting to know if we would be interested in hosting a Fulbright Scholar. And so we thought about it. We needed to come up with an area of focus that would be the engine for this opportunity to have an expert come into the island to work alongside our faculty, our students. And looking again at the impact of both Dorian and COVID, the suggestion came, let's focus on the impact that these particular traumatic experiences have had on student success, students' ability to perform, academically. Let's look at what this storm has done. Let's take stock, and then let's also try to give counselors, teachers, school leaders a toolkit with which they could help their students navigate, build their resilience, their ability to adapt to everything that's happened. Because let's face it, this has been an extraordinary once in a century moment to have the worst storm in 100 years and the first global pandemic in 100 years, all within a 24-month period. And so this is what the Fulbright is going to be about. We are going to be bringing in a specialist who focuses on disaster related trauma, who will come into UB North next year, work with our university faculty, both in Nassau and Grand Bahama, go into our schools. We're going to try to get a sense, get our arms around the magnitude of the problem in Grand Bahama in terms of students coping or not coping with everything that's been going on, and then come up with a toolkit, a methodology that would allow us to help come alongside these kids, provide them with support, help them to build their inner resilience, their inner tools to deal with change, with uncertainty, with anxiety, with loss, et cetera. So really excited about this. Again, this is an example of what I mean, of us in practical ways applying our knowledge to national problems. You've heard the Minister of Education speak very, very powerfully about the level and the magnitude of dislocation caused by COVID. Well, in our case, it's Dorian and COVID. And so how do we address this? How do we address the inner child, right? How do we address the psychological and social pressures and dynamics that are affecting this kid's ability to sit there and focus in class and do homework and take exams, et cetera? And so we're excited about this. We're excited about this opportunity to build capacity, to train folks in the school system, to create new knowledge, to study this problem, and to then write about it and create greater insight about this experience. And we're very, very happy that the U.S. Embassy is in support of our plan. And right now what we're doing is evaluating which scholar we will bring in to work alongside our team. So this is another example, yes, of how University of Bahamas North is trying to live out its mission in full.
So when is this fellowship coming to pass?
So we're looking at next, probably starting in the summer and going into the fall. All right. So the program is called Fostering Resilience in the Face of Dorian and COVID Impacts and Intervention. And we are right now just trying to finalize, as I said, which scholar will come, and we have a number to choose from. And again, I have to commend Dr. Andrew Moxie, the new Dean of Faculty, and Keturah Bob, our Director of Advancement, for their work on this. But this is exciting. So it will probably start in the summertime and go into fall 2022 in terms of the information gathering, the field research, and then the training.
I like this discourse we're having about tangible, practical applications. So let's move right on and continue. Sustainable Grand Bahama Conference. What's the focus for 2022?
Yes. So again, given all that we are facing as a country, we want to look at where we are, and we want to provide thought leadership for the nation as well as we can. And we want to, of course, partner with agencies, both public and private entities, that are looking at this. And so, for instance, our last conference, we changed the topic after Dorian to focus on Dorian. This year, our virtual conference is going to be diversifying and expanding our economy. And so nothing threw into higher relief than COVID-19, the vulnerabilities in the Bahamian economic model, right? So we're very import heavy society. We are heavily dependent on a single industry, which is tourism. I can't think of an industry that was harder hit by COVID than tourism. All right, it's shut down, cruise ships shut down, air travel almost entirely shut down, hotels, et cetera. So it was blunt force trauma to our number one industry. And it threw into high relief what we've always known, which is the Bahamas needs to diversify. I think about my own book, Paradise and Plantation, in which I mentioned the white paper on independence in 1972. It was expressed even then that we needed to diversify and not rely so heavily on tourism. And so the focus of this conference is on just that. How do we respond to the changes and disruptions in the global economy? How do we take advantage of the opportunities that are there? How do we build capacity? How do we create an ecosystem that is more innovative? How do we become more competitive in this market? And so some of the themes of the conference are preparing 21st century workforce, public sector support for tech innovation, scaling up products and services, financing small and medium-sized businesses, disaster risk management, tech-based startups, the orange economy, energy for the 21st century, mental health in times of national crisis, education for sustainable economic future, et cetera, et cetera. And so, of course, as usual, we're going to be looking at trying to bring leaders of the country together, public and private, to talk through these issues and to propose innovative solutions to some of these challenges, which are also opportunities. This will be our third conference. We do it every 2 years. And I think this one is going to be just as compelling as the previous two.
And this is for 2022. When in 2022, and there is a call for presentations, right?
That's correct. So the event is April 7th and 8th, 2022. We just republished our call. So now the new date, if you're interested in making a presentation, is January 4th, 2022. That's the deadline to submit a proposal. It's just provide us with a 50 to 100 word synopsis of what you would like to present. Send that to sustainablegb@ub.edu.bs. sustainablegb@ub.edu.bs. We will certainly look at your proposed talk. And if it lines up with what we're trying to do, we will certainly try to make a space for you to be a part of the conversation.
What are the lessons that UB North has learned over the last 2 years that it will pay close attention to as it continues its focus and operation?
Well, you know, Tamika, I'm going to speak to something which might be seen as a little touchy. I don't think it needs to be, because it's seen by anyone who lives on an island outside of New Providence, which is that there is a Nassau centrism. It is not necessarily intentional. It's just the nature of things. I worked in New Providence most of my life at the university, and I was guilty of it as well, a Nassau centrism. What is important for UB North is to not tire in advancing and calling for greater equity and fairness in the dispensing of resources and in terms of the governance mechanisms of the university. I've been privileged and fortunate to lead the campus. I won't always lead the campus, but my message to my colleagues is, you know, you've got to continually make the case and show how you can bring greater value to the project of the University of the Bahamas through the Northern Campus. We are a stronger university, and I believe we're a stronger country if UB North is strong. And what we have to look at is how we can build consensus with our colleagues in Nassau on how we grow, because we can't grow without Nassau's support. We can't do it. We must work together. And what I am seeing is that there are spaces that are uncontested, spaces that are unexplored, spaces that are undeveloped. And these are perhaps the first spaces that the University of Bahamas North should seek to occupy for that ground. Our strategic plan lays out a pathway for greater autonomy, greater control over how we make decisions on the ground for the university. And I believe that my colleagues around the admin council are unopposed to that agenda. In fact, I think they are in support of that agenda. And so I think what we've learned is that you seize the opportunities, you occupy the spaces that are right in front of you. Perfect example is the Marine and Environmental Science Field Research Station. And I think that UB North will go from strength to strength.
Excellent, excellent. So as we actually wrap up now, any final comments, any final thoughts?
I just want to say that again, it's been a real privilege to lead and serve. I'm grateful. I think we have an awesome team. We've been through a lot, but I truly believe that it is God's will that UB North comes back bigger, better, and stronger. And I believe that it shall. I believe that in adversity, there is also blessing.
I really
believe that. I'm gonna get spiritual, but yes. I believe that in adversity there's an opportunity for blessing. Yes, that's how I'll end.
All right, very good. Thank you so much. And the next time we call upon you, Dr. Strawn, you will be hosting a special episode of University Drive all the way from Grand Bahama.
Oh boy, you think you're slick. You think you're slick. But that'll be great, actually. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. And then the other time you'll be co-hosting. You with Nikki Bo, our other host.
You got all kinds of plans.
All kinds of things up my sleeve. Yes, yes. That brings our show to an end. Thank you so much, Dr. Strawn, for being our guest on this episode. I've been your host, Tamika Lundy. Don't forget to stay abreast of University of the Bahamas developments at our website, www.ub.edu.bs, or any one of our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and we also have a YouTube channel. This has been another exciting episode of University Drive. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations and the Communications and Creative Arts Academic Unit at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.